Are we ready, Chuck?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Rhonda Ayers talking with Johnny Coe for the Tulsa Historical Society. And today is February 3rd, 2005. And we are interviewing a number of people that grew up around Tulsa or have roots here. And we heard you were one.
Well, I do have roots here.
Okay.
I will say that.
Can you go back to very, very early times? What are some of your very first memories here?
Well, I'll give you the background of the background on my family first. My grandfather, on my mother's side, moved his family to Tulsa in 1893.
From where?
From Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And he was the manager of the Tulsa Lumber Company, which you always see a picture of on those early pictures of south of Main Street.
Uh-huh.
And on my dad's side of the family, the first of the Coes came to Tulsa in 1899 in the person of Mrs. C.W. Kerr, the wife of the First Presbyterian Church pastor. Mm. So I do have roots here.
Right.
The center of social life in Tulsa at that time was the Presbyterian Church, First Presbyterian Church, which is the oldest church organization in Tulsa. And my parents were married there, met and married there. And so I've grown up pretty much in the First Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
Been a part of my life.
And what kinds of social life were going on? Well, we can hit that later as we go through, but I am interested in what kinds of social activities there were early.
Well,
on,
they went on camping trips up to Bird Creek Falls.
Where's that?
Well, it's up north of town here. I don't know the place myself. But they would go out and have overnights. Mm. They'd have a little camping. And then, well, there were just all kinds of little parties that centered around their life at the church.
About how many members do you think there would have been at that time?
Well, when my family first joined when Dr. Kerr came here, there were about 80 people in the First Presbyterian Church, and there's now about 2,700.
Right. So you were born in about
I was
what
born
era?
In 1915.
Okay. And very first memories, going downtown or playing?
Well, about one of the very first things I remember was when my uncles went to the First World War. Hmm. I remember as a little child, we went down to the railroad station and saw him off. And he gave me a little children's watch. Of course, it didn't run. Mm-hmm. It was just a little toy. That's one of the first things I remember. Mm-hmm. And then my grandfather had a ranch down by Mounds. And I remember going down there when I was that was during the First World War, and riding the tractor around.
So that would be before you were in school then, probably.
Yes, and then I started to school at Horace Mann Grade School, which was torn down last year.
And you live close to that area? Could you walk to school?
Well, my dad sort of believed in children walking to school. He always told a story about how they walked 2 or 3 miles, you know, too much to get a ride. We just lived 5 blocks. We lived in the 1400 block of South Main at that time.
Mm.
And I generally walked to school.
When you rode, what did you ride in?
Well, in an automobile.
So you had
Dad was a Pierce Arrow.
Okay. So that's what he
Pierce
drove.
Pierce Arrow
at that time.
Car. And that's what he drove. Mm-hmm. The last one we had was second hand.
And how reliable were those cars at that time?
Well, that was a wonderfully reliable car.
It was good, huh?
A wonderful, reliable car.
Did you take long car trips, go across country?
Yes, we went to Colorado when I was a small child. And then early on, we acquired a property in Benton County, Arkansas, near Siloam Springs on the Illinois River. And that was in 21 that they got that. And it's been in the family ever since. Mm-hmm. My brother lives on the property now.
Uh-huh. So on these trips, were they outdoors, hiking kinds of?
The trip we went to Colorado, they had a tent. Mm-hmm. I remember. We camped out, and my uncles would fish in the stream sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. catch a fish. We lived in a tent, and they had running boards on the side of the car where all the luggage was tied on.
Oh. How many people in the car? How many normally traveled?
Well, let's see, we took two cars. My grandfather took his car, and then my dad drove his car. And there were my mother and myself and my father in our car, and my grandfather and my aunt and a lady friend in the other car. There were three. But I guess the cars were pretty full.
Mm-hmm. Well, for a camping trip, right. Do you still go to the Illinois ever?
Yes. I spend as much time as possible there.
And how does it
compare?
I spent
every summer of my life there.
Oh, really?
Since I was 6 years old.
So still at the same place in Arkansas?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It
was a business. And it was sort of a family business that my grandfather had. And, of course, it's no longer a business now, but it's a very beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. On the Illinois River, it per se, is ruined mm-hmm. from the runoff from the dairy farms and from the cattle and the chicken ranches.
So you can tell the difference now between what?
We do not swim in the river, uh-huh. ever. We had to build a swimming pool there.
When do you think it became too polluted to swim in?
Oh, it's been at least... I'd say it would be 30 years
The 80s, 70s, 80s then?
Mm-hmm, 70s.
And do you canoe, or what
no.
kinds of activities did you
well,
do?
Well, what we did up there was this was a camp for children. And that I was raised in it, and so was my brother. And it was called Gypsy Camp for Girls. Hmm. And we had, our clientele was Missouri, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and we would have around 100 children there every summer. Huh. And a complete camp program of crafts and sports.
Did they stay all summer or just
stayed,
a week or two?
No, goodness, no. They stayed 2 months.
2 months.
We had two sessions of 1 month each.
Uh-huh.
And that's...
So you sound like a real outdoors person then.
Well, that's what I enjoy.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind doing anything outside. I'm not much of an indoor person.
Uh-huh.
But we still enjoy the property. It hasn't been a business for 20 years, but love it.
Was the camp affiliated with your church at all? Or
no,
was
no,
it just
this was just a private
camp. Family-owned?
It was a family affair.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So when you were in school, what was it like?
Well, I graduated from Tulsa Central High School downtown, and then I graduated from the University of Tulsa in 1936 with a major in business. And
about what size were the classes, say, in middle school or high school?
Tulsa High School was extremely large at that time. I don't think they had school down there over 1 or 2 years after that.
Oh, okay.
When they got Will Rogers and Daniel Webster.
Mm. Oh. So it was just one, it was the only high school in Tulsa.
Oh, it was the only high school up to that time,
until
1932.
How far out did Tulsa main housing go at that point?
Oh.
So that would be
the things that I did was horseback riding. And my parents kept a pony at a stable down on Riverside Drive about 41st Street.
Oh.
And when I would go down to ride, 41st was pretty much a country road.
Really?
Yes. George Bowles' place is down there. And he had a stable on the east side of his property with a riding ring, and they would let me come down there and ride. But 41st Street, there was no traffic on to speak of at that time. And that would have been Well, that would have been in the late 20s, early 30s.
So horseback riding and outdoors activities, were you interested in any school activities?
Not particularly.
So pretty much your own outdoors things.
That was what I enjoyed.
Right. Now, as far as the growth of Tulsa, so it went, I mean, what did it go about as far as 21st at that time,
Well, let's
Utica
see.
Square, when was that built?
Oh my. Hard, kind of hard for me to say.
Yeah, I don't. That may have been much later, like the
Well,
50s or so.
that I'm sure it
So
was.
it was a while then.
I know my uncles, one of my uncles lived out on Indianapolis, and let's see, it was Harvard that you had. What?
That would be close
And
to
that was pretty
Indianapolis.
much the end of the line out there.
So that was
His
country,
property
huh?
was on the one of the He worked for the Crosby, one of the Crosby banks, and they gave a lot of their employees lots out there. And my uncle built a house out there.
Now, was that common? Was that an employee benefit
That was an employee benefit. The
with a lot of
that was the Central National Bank, was what J.E. Crosby had. And they lived across the street from us on South Main, the
Okay.
big old Crosby mansion that was torn down, and the Skelly Building was
Oh.
put there.
Now, what do you remember about downtown? You lived close in then, as
Oh,
far as
yes.
the activities and
It
shopping.
was much nicer than it is.
What all was there at that time?
Of course, I remember distinctly the Palace Clothiers and Brown Duncan's store and Walkover Shoe Store and Bishop's Restaurants and Sadie's and Renard's, Vandiver's, and
Did
Miss
a lot of
Jackson's.
Miss Jackson's was downtown then.
Oh, it was on the corner of what, Fifth and Boston.
A
Yes.
lot of people come from surrounding areas to shop there.
Oh, I think that was very popular from all the small towns around. People came. I notice you have Miss. This mentions Miss Goodsein's shop, which was along there on Fifth Street.
Oh, okay. So she had
But
a
Miss Goodsein, there's another lady that they're interested in talking to,
Right.
named Mary Lou Parks,
Okay.
and her mother was the manager of Miss Goodsein's shop. And I think they've kind of gotten me mixed up here with, I didn't, my mother traded with Miss Goodsein, but
I
she
see.
didn't have any. I mean, we didn't know Miss Goodsein at all.
So she had a shop, though, downtown.
Yes, it was called Kitty Goodsein's.
I see. And what kinds of things were
Oh, beautiful,
sold?
beautiful ladies' clothing. All the socialites bought their stuff there. I think you have a bunch
I think there is a
of
collection.
Mrs. Simpson's clothing
Okay.
that Jane showed us some of it the other day.
I think that's part of the interest because.
Well, I'm not the one that knows anything about Miss
Okay,
Goodsein.
I see. And did you wear those clothes?
Well,
Did you wear,
I didn't
what kinds of
myself.
shoes did you wear in those days?
Well, unfortunately, I had a very narrow foot. I never could buy those cute, stylish shoes that were sold at places like Chandler's and those $4.95. I always had to buy my shoes at the Walkover or Imiller or Renberg or Sideback. I bought a lot of things from. My things came from Sideback.
And normally high heels?
Oh yes.
Always, right?
Colored ones too,
Yes,
if
colored high
possible.
heels. Yeah.
Green ones or red ones.
And when were you an art student? Was that during your,
I was not an
you
art
were not
student.
an art student. Did you
But
know Ada
this, oh
Robinson?
yes, well,
Okay.
she was the art department at the University of Tulsa
I
when
see.
I was a student there.
Okay.
And of course, I don't know what went on that caused her to leave Tulsa University, but she went to Trinity University in San Antonio.
I see.
My brother was a student of Ada Robinson.
Okay.
And of course, she's the lady that is really responsible for Boston Avenue
Oh,
Methodist Church.
I
And there's
see.
been quite There was a young fellow that was her student that helped her a lot with the work, and he's since become an architect. He did become an architect.
Now, about when would that have been built, do you know?
Boston Avenue was built about in the very late 20s and early 30s.
Okay, and what about the other large churches downtown?
Well, the First Presbyterian Church, they started their church in the Mission School building there where the Mid-Continent building is. Then in 1900, they built a church across the street. And then in 1910, they built another church at 7th and Boston. And then as that progressed, well, shortly after the race riot, their congregation outgrew what they called the Dome Church. Mm. And they built the present church in 1926, just next door to it. Mm-hmm. And then sort of to honor the life of their pastor, they tore down the old church and built what is called the Kerr Memorial Building on the corner of 7th and Boston.
I see. Now, so were you in Tulsa at the time of the race riot?
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, I had never heard anything about that until the last few years when it was
my.
Never had
That's
heard.
A blot on the Tulsa that will never be erased.
Do you want to talk at all about what your memories are of
Well,
those
I was
weeks?
Just a little kid, but I do remember a good deal about it. There was a colored man was alleged to have annoyed a white girl down at the courthouse. And there was just about to be a lynching.
And do you remember actually seeing or just the atmosphere around that time?
Well, it was more or less just the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
Except I do remember one thing. That was my mother and I were out on the front porch of our home on South Main when a colored man came running down the street. And there was a car full of white trash chasing him down Main Street, South Main. Mm-hmm. And he ran between our house and our neighbor's house. And these men shot at him out of their car.
Even in the neighborhood?
He managed to run between our house and Mrs. Taylor's house and get down in the alley. And I presume he got away.
Mm-hmm. So
yes, I remember that very well. And then we had, my parents had employed a colored couple. And then they brought, my aunt was running the P&S hospital at that time, and the colored couple that she had working over at the hospital. And then my grandfather brought his couple in from down at the ranch. And we kept six in our basement for...
Oh, just for protection during that time?
For their mm-hmm. own protection. Of mm-hmm. course, the Presbyterian Church took in hundreds of them mm-hmm. and kept them for days mm-hmm. and responsible.
And how did that get resolved? Was it a...
Well, it just kind of petered out.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they sent in the National Guard. But after they'd all ripped the rioters, white trash had burned down the homes and the churches of those colored and businesses of those colored people. They don't know how many were killed.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
It was it was a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So at that time, let's see, you were just in grade school, elementary school at that time.
I hadn't even started school.
Oh, it was
before that. 1921.
Okay.
It was when that happened.
Uh-huh. Now, during those earlier memories, did people go down, were there clubs downtown, or was most entertaining in homes? Or
My parents did most of their entertaining at home.
And what would, say, an evening be like?
Well, they had little dances.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed there's one upstairs here, a Victor.
Oh.
Victrola.
Uh-huh.
With a crank on the side.
Well, describe that just for kids who might listen to this who don't know what it is.
Well, a Victrola. It just looks like a cabinet. And you raise the lid up, and there's a plate in there, and you put the record on it. And then there's a crank on the side that you wind up the motor. And pretty soon that'll run down. So mm-hmm. while that would be my job, to change the records and keep the machine wound up.
Uh-huh.
When my parents had a little dance.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my parents often had their company to come up to the country, up to the camp for the weekend. And that was a pretty long drive.
Right.
It was 100 miles.
So how long would that have taken you?
Most of the day.
With the Pierce Arrow? Most of the day
most
to get
of the
there?
Most of the day, yes.
Uh-huh.
And along the way, it was old Highway 33. There's a little town called Locust Grove.
Right.
And out of Locust Grove, there was a big spring that the Indians had used.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was our habit to stop there at lunch
mm-hmm.
and have our picnic and then drive on and get over to my grandfather's by evening.
I have picnicked there many times. I
oh,
know that
yes.
spring. Yes.
It's still
uh-huh.
there.
Right.
It's still there.
Well,
I thought my father was very brave to let my mother and her sister start out with two little children mm-hmm. in a car.
Was that unusual then?
Well, I don't know. You know, people just didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they just did things like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of automobiles.
They were used to camping out.
Right,
know.
So they were fine anyway.
Yeah, they.
If anything,
they weren't
wrong.
The least nervous about it, or they wouldn't have done it.
Right. Well,
and going up, you know, Flint Creek.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there used to be an old mill there at Flint Creek before you started up that long hill, and when the men folks of the family got a car that would climb up that hill in high gear, they thought they had reached the top. And those cars that my dad drove had something about the carburetor that you had to have pressure on the gasoline tank. And there was a contraption on the dashboard that you had to pump up and down like this to keep pressure on that gasoline tank. So that was always got to do that when we were going up the hill at Flint Creek.
So you have these little manual labor jobs.
I had the
running the Victrola and the
yeah.
pumping the pump and
keeping
the car.
The car running.
So there were not brothers or sisters at your home then?
I had one brother who was much younger than myself.
Oh, okay.
So and he was the late he was the student of Ada Robinson.
Oh, okay, that's right, you did mention that. So say for each decade after you graduated, you said in what, 1936?
From Tulsa University.
Did you work then?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do?
Well, my first little job was with a camera shop here in town called Specs Film Service. And Mr. Anderson paid me the great sum of $10 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it wasn't long until I went to work for what was called Stanlin Oil and Gas at the time. And that later became Pan American Petroleum and Standard of Indiana. And it's now called BP.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I worked for them for 30 years.
Oh, you did? So you retired there?
Retired from there in 1972, rather than go to Chicago.
Right, right.
I didn't want to decentralize.
I have other friends that did the same.
Yes.
So
I've been retired now longer than I worked.
Right. But that's good.
it's been great.
Mm-hmm. So when you're in Tulsa, and since you like to be outdoors, what do you do when you're not
well,
out on
I have
the
a fairly
camp?
Large yard.
Mm-hmm.
And except in real hot weather, I keep my yard.
Mm-hmm. So you garden?
Yes, I
okay.
like to garden.
Are you a member of any of the garden
I
clubs,
used to be
or?
A member of what was called the Hemerocallis Garden Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we met out here over at the Garden Center all the time. But that's been disbanded for a long time, I think.
Okay, well, I know Tulsa's pretty much known for its gardens and yards, so yours is probably one of them.
Well, mostly I just have, I do grow Hemerocallis and iris, but that's about all mm-hmm. anymore.
And they come back year after year,
and
right?
they don't take too much work.
What working for an oil company through the 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s, mm-hmm. or into the 70s, how did you see say women in the workplace changing during those years?
Gradually, but by the time I was wound my career up, they were paying women a little better, I mean more equally mm-hmm. than the men. Mm-hmm. I know that it was the custom if they'd bring in those young men from those colleges, and the old hands, experienced hands like myself, would train those people, and they would get the raises. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were not.
That was just the norm then.
Was just the regular thing mm-hmm. that the men were always mm-hmm. given preference.
I think that is some of the change that's happened.
And I think that has gradually fallen. Mm-hmm. They're doing better, mm-hmm. doing a lot better, I think, by the men. I noticed that so much of the work that we did, though, has now been farmed out.
It's contracted out.
Farmed mm-hmm. out, because I was in the comptroller's department, and we took care of the payroll and the insurance and the stock plan and the pensions and all mm-hmm. of that. And so much of that. I notice that my checks now come from a place that
right. It's all contracted out.
It's all contract. That kind of work is contracted out.
Mm-hmm. Well, so really you were in the benefits area most of those years.
Well,
then.
I was in the benefits area the uh-huh. whole time.
That would have been interesting. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, the whole time.
Anything else just about memories of Tulsa that would be of interest to people who weren't here during those years?
Well,
About what would you think the population was in the 20s? Any idea?
Oh, I really don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know if you might remember.
I don't know that I ever really knew. Uh-huh. I do remember one thing that we used to do occasionally was when there would be a fire over at the refineries, and then those tanks would catch fire. Well, my dad would take us up there, around where the mail house, up there, high on the high part of South Boston, sort of where 2300 Riverside is,
right,
and up in there.
Right.
And we could see the tanks burning over at the refinery. The lightning could strike them or something.
Yeah. Did that happen often?
No, it was quite an event.
Okay.
It was quite an event when that happened.
And what about just the development of the oil industry and the boom from all
well,
that.
The great thing that I remember was the International Oil Expositions that they would have mm-hmm. out at the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. and what a big event that really was.
And for your work with the oil company, did you attend those, or it was just a
that we just would go occasionally mm-hmm. get to go. We didn't have time off for anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But.
But it was a big event in
but
town.
It was one of the biggest things that happened in Tulsa. Of course, there were so many of the major companies would have displays out there, and the tool companies would have them, Hinderladders and all those kind of people that had oil-related businesses had displays out there. Mm-hmm. They would even I remember they had a little drilling rig out there. They would cable tools, of course.
Mm-hmm. What about Tulsa parks and expansion of, you know, parks and things to do outside here?
Well,
what used to be here, and when did others come?
Well, of course, I think the first park that I remember was Owen Park, mm-hmm. out there on the north side, you know, mm-hmm. where the brick plant was. And I think a nitroglycerin wagon blew up out there or something. Hmm. And that was quite exciting. And then there was the lake there. And then in the early day, there was Orchid Lake. Of course, now that is known as Swan Lake.
Oh, right. Hmm. And it was called what?
Orchid.
Orchid?
It belonged to an Indian family.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And one of the little stories that I remember hearing as a child was my grandfather was a merchant in downtown Tulsa. And my mother was, when she was a small child. And her dog got lost. And a man wandered into the store one day and told my grandfather, he said, "I think I saw Bess's dog out at Orchid's." So he said, "Well, we'll go out there after this evening and see if we can get your dog." So they went out there, of course, in a buggy. Mm-hmm. And the dog was there. Mother called to it, and it didn't come. And so she said, "Well, if he likes it better out here, he can stay." Uh-huh. So they went home. And the name of that dog was Tamart. And the reason she called it that was because one of the Paramon family, Indian family, there were two boys. One was called Thomas, and the other one was Arthur. And so they were nice to her as a child. And so that's what she called her dog, was Tamart.
That's funny. So then other parks would have
been... Oh, and then, of course, and then the great thing when I was growing up was Mohawk Park to be so very popular. Mm-hmm. And that was a great place for families to go on picnic, you know.
Was the zoo there at that time?
Or? Well, I don't think we had much of a zoo.
Okay, so that would develop later.
That was later on. Uh-huh. But it was my uncle's family with children, we'd go out there for picnics, you know. Mm-hmm. They'd cook, and we just had a real nice time out, played out there. Mm-hmm. And they had some canoes on some of those lagoons or something out there we played with.
What about before the years of TV, radio, video games, all this? What did
you know? I wondered what we did.
What did you do?
I wondered. I really wondered what did we do to entertain ourselves.
We have recently come to have some stamp collections that of an older friend of ours put together.
Well, you know, I think that
she must have spent hours.
That
hours.
Must have been one of the things that I did because
you did.
I'm trying to downsize my possessions. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I just have recently gotten into was my stamp collection.
Good.
In fact, these last few days, I've been sorting them out. Uh-huh. And
so that would take a lot of time.
I'm going to kind of revive it.
Right.
Oh, it's a wonderful time killer.
It actually is
it's
very
marvelous,
interesting.
It's marvelous, and I have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of a coincidental that I would have been working on my ancient collection this last few days.
What about card playing or games?
Well,
was that part of the entertainment?
Oh, we played dominoes. My dad played dominoes. We played dominoes. I think that was the only game he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, were cards not acceptable at that time? Maybe they're still not. I'm not sure.
Well, that's about all ladies around town do anymore, is play cards. But the first card game that I went to was when I was at TU. Uh-huh. One of the girls started a little bridge club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rather strange to us that she was the granddaughter of a Methodist minister.
Mm.
But she had this little card game at her house.
Uh-huh.
And there were eight of us that played. And there are, I think one of the original group besides myself.
Mm.
And then my grandmother Coe moved out. When they came to Tulsa in 1907, they settled out at Kendall, mm-hmm. where the college was. And then after my grandfather was run over by the streetcar, she moved to down on South Cincinnati. And one of her younger unmarried daughters lived with her. And after Aunt Margaret married, she and Uncle Frank had a card game. And that was the talk of the family when Margaret and Frank had the nerve to have a card game in Grandmother Coe's house.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That was a big event, much talked about. And when my aunt got a rinse on her hair,
oh,
That was almost a disgrace.
Just a disgrace. I wonder, when did that really change as far as those attitudes?
Time just went by.
Yeah, I think.
Time just went by.
Really, not that far back, that would be, those attitudes would be the same still.
Well, that was 40s and 50s. My mother had long hair. When she had it bobbed off, my dad didn't like it at all.
Just change. Well, anything else
that
you can think of that would be,
you know, I haven't told anything that was particularly.
I think this is all interesting. It's just things we all take for granted.
Well, now here's something that when I, of course, dances, when I was at TU, the dances were very popular. That was our main form of entertainment. And we often we would have them at the Mayo Hotel.
Oh.
And the Crystal Ballroom of the Mayo Hotel was just about the top.
And
drawer.
Who played? Who normally played?
Oh, I don't remember the name of the orchestras, but they just had a little local band, you know. And of course, that gradually went downhill. And I now have 5 chairs from the Crystal Ballroom of the Mayo Hotel that I bought at an auction up on the north side. And a friend of mine and I, we rehabilitated those chairs. They had been cane back chairs, and they had had vinyl tacked all over them. So Betty and I took those all apart. And
so is that one of your hobbies now? Furniture renovation?
This friend of mine and I, that was, we did renovated furniture and most particularly lamps.
Oh.
We had a lot of fun with lamps. She could recover the shades, but I never got that good.
Wow. Well, see, those are things that you do with your time when there's no TV, right?
Well, I guess so. I'm not the world's greatest TV fan. Yeah. I think so much of it is terrible. Insult to your intelligence.
Well, I agree. And I guess I've just gone on tape with that, huh? Well, unless you have something else, I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Well,
what about any memories from the war years, 40s, anything in particular?
Yes, we would often go down to Camp Gruber and edit, you know, dances with the troops. I did that any number of times.
And what about rationing and all that?
Ration books, and I remember buying our meat and sugar out of ration books, and I particularly remember the gasoline rationing.
Lots more walking going on or biking?
Well, of course, I wanted to go to Arkansas in the summertime, and it had always been my practice. Every Friday night, I drove to Siloam Springs, and gasoline got to be a problem. But my grandfather was able to get me tractor stamps.
Oh.
From farm equipment, you know. And I got tires the same way.
So there are ways around
there were ways,
it all.
There were ways around it. But gasoline rationing was quite was
a
difficult.
Yeah.
That was a hardship. That's really one of the main things that I remember about the war was tires and gasoline and groceries.
Well, okay.
I think you've probably
we've probably exhausted you, but thanks very much.
Well, I hope it
very interesting.
Well.